This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. Dave and I are back, and we're still buzzing from the game last night. I know we didn't get the win, but after starting out the preseason with two blowout losses, and we were looking for the bright side, getting extra minutes in overtime, that's more than what we thought we'd get, and we won the game prior. So it's been a pretty great time. A lot of people are buzzing about what the Thunder are up to right now, and you know, we're feeling that too, man. We're pumped about Josh Giddey, Poku, all these guys. It's been a great start to the season already.
Yeah, man. And if it wasn't for Marcus Howard going completely off last night and getting 31 points, I think we'd get the W. I just think that this team looked really, really good out there, really, really strong. And if it wasn't for, you know, Coach D basically minimizing the minutes of our other guys, there's no doubt that we'd get that win. So the fact is, if we look at it and we see who played for this team, with Mike Muscala at 23, Trey Mann hurting his heel, 13 minutes there. Teo Maladone, he got 25. Aaron Wiggins got 41, and he led the team as a rookie with minutes last night. And Josh Giddey got pulled out with 7 minutes left in the game, 6 minutes left in the game, and he had 28 minutes. So and he didn't play at all in overtime. So to me, this was a clear indication that Coach D already has his team lined up. He knows who's going to play. He knows who's going to get the minutes. And as we saw this morning, Mark, DJ Wilson got cut from the team. He had 12 minutes last night. He played really, really well. I kind of sad to see him go, but this wasn't a surprise cut because this team is really already solidified, and we already know who's on it and what's going to look like this year.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a bummer to see him go. But that's understandable. This is it's a business, and we've got to figure out how to cut our roster to the right number, but I'm not worried about it. I feel like he's going to get a job. He showed that he has an NBA body. He has NBA athletic ability. So I'm going to keep cheering for him like we do with all the former Thunder players. But let's face it, man, even though this team doesn't get a lot of credit, we're really deep. There's a lot of good players, a lot of role players, and it's going to be hard to cut our rotation down to 10. And I mean, like, if you think about this, you've got our stars are unquestionable. Like, people aren't doubting SGA or Dort that I know of anyway. And then our rotation is extremely deep. So where a lot of people question is, like, that middle part of it. And that's where we're looking for progression. And adding Josh Giddey to that group, I mean, the dude is already an elite playmaker. A lot of people are getting carried away saying he's already the best passer on the team. That might be the case. I don't know yet, but I don't think that we have enough video evidence to tell. The truth is, with Josh Giddey, what it takes for him to get to the next level is just time. I mean, he didn't play those overtime minutes, and I get it. Like, that's totally understandable. But he was playing good enough where if we wanted a win, we would have had him out there playing. And that's for sure what I found about Josh Giddey. He plays winning basketball, and everything he does is to, you know, create advantages and to win. I was incredibly impressed with the way that he would put players on skates, but get to the open shot. It wasn't this like, oh, I'm going to go out there and be flashy for the sake of being flashy. He plays winning basketball, and it's really refreshing.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right. The way that Josh Giddey plays and the way that he is able to do things and really direct the defense where he wants it to go. I know we heard Michael Cage talk about it last night and the night before, but he really has an elite way of drawing the defenders to the spot that he wants them to go and attack it from there. I'm really excited about the future of Josh Giddey, but you're right. He's only a rookie. He's only played in the summer league for a few minutes and then has only played in preseason games, so it's really hard to really get carried away right here. To me, this is somebody that I have to get excited about because we haven't had a sixth pick or higher in forever. And the last time that we had anything that was in the top five, we saw what happened with that with Russell Westbrook. We saw that KD, and we saw that with James Harden. So to me, this is our first opportunity to see a top 10 pick for the Thunder in a very long time. So I'm really excited to see what's going to be able to put together here. And honestly, even if Josh Giddey is looked at as only a top six pick in the redraft in 5 years, and he stays at that number six, to me, that's still successful in this draft class. This draft class is elite, and if he comes back as being the sixth best player in this draft class, we won, guys. It doesn't really fucking matter at that point. So I'm looking at this at the way that Josh Giddey is able to play direct traffic and spread that floor out in an elite way as a very big positive for the future of this Thunder. You add Shea in there, you throw Shea there with his playmaking ability, and you're watching what happens when you're sitting, having Dort sit out there and wait patiently for the three-pointer range. You also have Mike Muscala, who's been playing really well. And, man, I'm telling you right now, JRE, he's going to have some special minutes this year. His shooting is really fun to watch. Poku is getting better at shooting. So this team is designed for mass chaos on the offensive side, but with a twist of just straight pure shooters. I think we're going to see this team shoot a lot of threes during the year, and it's going to be fun to see how it all gets put together.
Well, yeah, I mean, and watching these guys, these young guys, you know, come to terms with their professional ability is pretty incredible. Let's talk about that play by Poku last night. We spent a considerable amount of time talking about it yesterday, but let's talk about it again. So he catches the ball on the right wing from a pass from Théo Maledon, which you got to love that connection, but moving on. Okay, so Poku catches the ball with his left hand, and there's a gamble. So he wraps the ball around with his left hand behind his back and puts enough English on it that the ball comes back to his left hand. Okay, so he immediately does a between the legs dribble, right? It's only been in his left hand at this point. He recovers the between the legs dribble with his left hand and then does a behind the back left hand pass to Jeremiah Robinson Earl, who immediately gives him an entry pass and he finishes with his right hand. So he was able to do all of that with his offhand, behind the back, between the legs, and behind the back pass, all in one fucking motion. And like this guy is just figuring out what he's capable of. Obviously, like, he doesn't even know yet, but he's creative. He showed last year he's committed to making a lot of creative passes, and we're seeing him out there doing things that quite literally I've never seen a basketball player do before. And it's not like, oh, he's doing it because he's 7 foot. Like, no, this is ball handling. This is aggression. This is like him being creative. And once you have a certain level of skill, you can just get out there and respond and take advantage to whatever the defense gives you. And that's what we're seeing with Poku. And I'm really happy. I mean, a lot of people were on him because he had a rough beginning of the preseason. And I get it. You know, people want to see results, but he skipped the summer league, and he did that because they felt like it wasn't the right timing for him. They felt like they wanted to get him in basketball shape going into the season, and they didn't want to put him in basketball shape, get him in basketball shape before. And you're seeing, you know, some of that pay off. Of course, it wasn't going to be as pretty as it was for even some of the rookies because they were already ready, and now he's getting there, and it's like, man, this guy coming off the bench along with Théo Maledon and Ty Jerome. Man, I mean, that's not even counting Kenny or Deck. I mean, like I said earlier, all of these guys coming off the bench, I don't know how we're going to get it into a 10-man rotation. I'm thinking we're going to probably end up with like, every game is probably going to be 10 men that play, but it's probably going to be a 12 or 14-man rotation. I don't know how that'll work out, but we just have so much depth, and it's something that we don't get any credit for right now.
Yeah, and to me, like, I'm enjoying watching the coaching aspect and watching what Coach D and Coach Gibbs and all these other guys that are in the staff are doing with these guys, because the reality is the chess movements that has to go into this are really, really spectacular. I like what you brought up about Poku. To me, I want to throw this out there as an add-on. You know, we've done a lot of coaching throughout our careers, and watching Poku figure it out, it reminds me of a younger kid playing up against the bigger competition. There comes a point where we have always seen it when we had a young man that was injured or whatever, and we called some kid up, and then somebody else got hurt, and then all of a sudden this kid gets thrown into it. We watched it with OU the other day with Williams that's had to step up and get the win over Texas. and to me, after Rattler wasn't playing well. But the reality is, we've seen this happen before, and as a coach, it all is one of those things that is intriguing to me, because how far can Poku's talent take him? I for me, I look at it like this, is that one day Poku's going to wake up and all of a sudden it's going to go, I figured it out, guys. I know exactly what I need to do in order to be successful. I know exactly what I need to do to be able to take that extra three-pointer, to take that step back, to put this move into here, to do this, to do that, to that. Boom. Right? Trust me. When that happens, nobody's safe. And that's what I get excited about, is that Poku is still so young. And when that comes to the point where he's been in the league for 3 or 4 years and it all is coming together, man, it's going to be exciting, because there comes a point where young men become straight up men. And when Poku becomes a straight man, man, this is going to be incredible, man. I'm going to get stoked about it, because when push comes to shove, you put Poku on a floor at the size that he is, and the blocking abilities that he has, and he's just going to gobble and munch up as much stuff as he possibly can, man. He's going to be coming at it all angles. And the best thing about it is that nobody's going to be able to stop him, because once he's behind you, it's all fucking over, man. There is no stopping any of the stuff that he can pull off. And that's the one thing I love about Poku.
Yeah, and a couple guys that I'm pumped up about, you know, we saw some minutes from them that were really key. Théo Maledon and Isaiah Roby. They have a great ability to help this team do the winning things, and they both have had opportunities to play. And now it seems like, I mean, we're assuming Derek Favors will end up getting the starting spot, but that Théo Maledon, Isaiah Roby, you know, that backup, those roles where they're playing and they're on the second team, that pick and roll could become really deadly. And that's something I'm looking forward to seeing, is how they start meshing, because there's a lot of chances last year where Théo was regulated to the second team, and then all of a sudden an injury or an opportunity, he moves up. And I remember a number of times, like, I love seeing him start, but thinking, what would happen if he could develop chemistry on the second unit? And hopefully that's something that we get to see this year. I mean, if he gets a chance to start, I'm excited for him there too. I love that. But I do think he'll benefit from getting some consistency if he can get that with the second unit.
Yeah, man. If to me, looking at it, if Derek Favors is our starter, and we're automatically assuming right now that he is, and that's just because, I don't really know why we're assuming that is. We're kind of just trying to put together pieces and trying to figure out what this team is going to look like. So for fuck's sake, let's just put Derek Favors as the starter right now. To me, there's three guys that have come up in this backup role as really key to this team. Ty, Théo, and Isaiah Roby. These three guys together are going to have to really get to the point where they're averaging 30 points a game between the three of them, and they're going to have to be putting up a number of rebounds and assists that we're going to be looking at as part of the second team. And the way that we run a rotation, these three guys are going to get a lot of time with starters. So there's going to be a lot of time that these three guys and Josh Giddey and Trey Mann, or these three guys, Dort, or these three guys. I mean, the combinations are endless, because we have so many positionless guys that are playing so many different positions, that when these guys are coming in the game, Théo, Ty, and Isaiah, these three guys we're going to be leaning on very heavily to upstart and kickstart our offense off of our second team. That's a lot of pick and rolls coming off from Ty and Théo and Roby and so on and so forth. But the reality is that there's other key factors to the second team. But looking at Ty, Théo, and Isaiah, this is where our points are going to come from our second team. So these guys have got to figure out a way to average 30 points a game for us, so that we can have the most success out of that. I know that's saying a lot. 30 points a game is a shit ton for bench players, but this team needs it in order for us to compete for a chance to get to the playoffs. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the other guys. We haven't really even talked about Kenny Hustle. And I feel like that's just something that we haven't had time to, because he hasn't had any playing time. But if he was playing right now, I guarantee you we'd be focusing on him and talking about him a lot. Because to me, this team, the second team, really starts with Kenny Hustle. And then after that, you're going to have Kenny Hustle set the tone. I don't know if Kenny's going to be the first man off the bench, second or third guy off the bench. It doesn't matter. But when Kenny Hustle's out there, the team plays differently. And you guys will all see it. And that's why we keep on talking very heavily about Kenny. And that's why we always love Kenny when he's out there and playing. But we haven't seen him this offseason yet. And we will see him. I promise you guys that. But the reality is that the three guys that Mark and I are really excited about are Ty, Teo, and Isaiah, and those guys are really going to do some great things this year.
Yeah, clearly we're pumped up about that second unit, and you know that's nothing compared to how pumped up we are about that first unit. But they get a lot of attention, and rightfully so. I mean, there's a lot of star power, and we have a lot of individuals who were convinced can really help this team out. But the question is, what can they do as a unit when they come together and they elevate their capabilities as a team? That's what we're pumped up about seeing. That's what we want to see happen, and we're going to see it in just a few days. First game is on Wednesday, and we can't wait. So I hope that you're ready too, man. This thing is on, and this season is going to be a lot closer to a full season. It's going to be all 82 games. It's going to be a little bit condensed because I think at this point the season would already be going, but I think that they're pretty close to the regular season. So we're hoping that we get to keep all those games going in line. Last year, we started out with a game being postponed, and so hopefully that doesn't happen this year, but in case that doesn't happen, we're looking forward to Wednesday being our first game. So we'll see you then. And we'll be back tomorrow. But just a reminder, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.